Well, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, most modern American Christians fit into one of a few categories. And so let me give you some ideas of what those categories are. The first one is what I call the dreamer. Now, have you ever had that dream? The dream where you're running, and you're running as fast as you can, but you're not going anywhere. And you're just running and running and running, and something's probably chasing you. And you're scared of something, and something's right on your heels, but you can't move. You are moving, your legs are working. It's just like you're hovering about this far above the ground. You're not going anywhere. You're running, but you're going nowhere. And this is the kind of person, the kind of Christian who has the power. They have the power to get those legs running. But you don't really understand what's keeping you from going forward. What's hindering me from taking that next step? I'm seeming to be taking lots of steps, but none of them are making contact with the ground, and so therefore I'm not moving forward. What's keeping me from moving forward in my spiritual walk? Maybe you're the dreamer. Maybe you're the SUV owner. What's the SUV owner? Well, understand that SUV stands for Sports Utility Vehicle. Well, people with SUVs, it's an interesting group of people. If you have an SUV, I'm not trying to make fun of you. But chances are you have this four-wheel drive SUV, sports utility vehicle, and you've never taken it off-road. You've never actually even put it in four-wheel drive. Now, I have a Jeep that has 38-inch mud boggers on it, and I get that thing dirty as often as I can, which hasn't been very often lately. My truck also has four-wheel drive, and we got to use that when we went down to the Gulf Coast to assist the hurricane victims. I like going off-road. But maybe you're that SUV driver. You just like the look of it. You like that kind of a, you know, jacked-up station wagon look, you know, and so you have the power, you have the ability to go off the beaten path, but you don't know what to do with it. You don't even know how to engage the four-wheel drive. Even if you did, you might be too afraid to scratch the paint. Maybe you're that kind of Christian. Maybe you're that kind of Christian with your spiritual gifts. You have these gifts, you have the power, but you just don't know what to do with it. You don't know how to engage it. Well, maybe you're the armchair quarterback type of Christian. You know all the right plays. You can call out all the errors that the refs are making, all from the comfort of your own home. You sit there on your couch, and you yell at the TV, and you yell all the right plays, and you yell at all the right players. You tell the refs how to do their job, but you never actually leave your comfort zone. You're the kind of Christian who, you understand about spiritual gifts. You've maybe done several studies on spiritual gifts. But when it comes to the real game, when it comes to church life, you don't use them. Oh, you could sit around and talk about them, but you're not using them. There may be other kinds of Christians. There's certainly the kinds of Christians who know about spiritual gifts and use spiritual gifts. And I think that regardless of where you are, and which type of Christian you find yourself in this list, this study is for you. Because I believe that regardless of where you are in your understanding or ability to use your spiritual gifts, that when we conclude this study, you will have a good handle on what the spiritual gifts are, which ones you have, and what to do with them. And you will be challenged to begin to use those spiritual gifts. As Christians, we need the right combination of those things. It's no wonder why so few Christians actually serve in a church or outside of a church in a volunteer capacity. It's no wonder why so few Christians are reaching out to their lost friends and family. It's no wonder why so few Christians have a satisfactory prayer and worship life. Because we don't understand spiritual gifts. We don't know which ones we have, and we don't know, if we did know which ones they were, how to use them. So the church needs Christians who are running the race to win. Their feet are actually making contact with the ground so they can move forward in their walk. We're equipped to go wherever God calls us. We're not going to just stay in our comfort zone, but we're willing to go outside of our comfort zone. And we have a knowledge of the gifts so that we know which gifts God has given us and what God wants to do with them. This is the kind of church we need to see in the year 2006. And then we need to see the Christians who are willing to leave that comfort zone and utilize their gift or gifts. And that's exactly what Ignite is designed to accomplish. I want to see every Christian in this church understand and using their spiritual gifts, whether it be inside or outside of the church. And so this study is all about getting equipped. During this 17 or 18 week study, I will be using one of my spiritual gifts. I'll be using my spiritual gift of teaching to help you understand three important things that will ignite your walk with God. Number one, we're going to be talking about what spiritual gifts are. Number two, we're going to be talking about which gift or gifts you have. And number three, how you should use the spiritual gifts that God has given you. And so, the first question that we want to tackle tonight is, how many spiritual gifts are there? Various people say different things. Different people have different opinions about how many spiritual gifts there actually are. Some say that there are 16, others say 19, some say as many as 20. There are those who say that only some of the gifts are active for today. Others will say that none of the gifts are active for today. According to Barna Research, there seems to be a lot of confusion amongst Christians about what the spiritual gifts even are. 31% listed characteristics or qualities which are not spiritual gifts identified in the Bible at all. As Barna went and asked Christians to list the spiritual gifts or which ones they had, the most common items mentioned as spiritual gifts were not biblical gifts. They mentioned love and kindness, relationships, singing, listening. These are all good qualities to have, but they're not spiritual gifts. And so what are the spiritual gifts? It'll be important to answer that question. How many of them are there? I don't know that that's such an important question, though we will pick a number and talk about those spiritual gifts. I don't believe that there's any definitive list in the Bible, this laundry list that you can check off and say, okay, there are exactly, you know, this many spiritual gifts and no more. There might be more that the Bible just didn't happen to list. I can't sit up here and tell you that I know how many spiritual gifts there are. But we will be drawing from two passages. We'll be drawing from two passages found in two New Testament books in order to compile a list of spiritual gifts identified for the sake of this study. And as we detail and define this list, please understand that I believe that all of these gifts are active for today. I believe that every single gift that the Bible mentions, which are spiritual gifts, are active and available to the believer today. And God decides how He will distribute those gifts amongst His church. Well, that scares some people. Some people want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because there has been such an abuse of one gift, mainly, and that's the gift of tongues, there has been a major abuse of the gift of tongues. But as we study and see that along with tongues, there should be the gift of interpretation, maybe from the same person, maybe not. And so we'll get in and discuss the abuse of that gift and why I'm not so ready to just say that the gift doesn't exist just because a handful of Christians have abused that gift. I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And so we will get in, we will detail and define what I think is the list of gifts given by the Bible from two different passages of Scripture. And so we will spend, you know, maybe about 17 weeks studying 18 gifts, their purpose, and where they're found. We find them mainly in two books. And if you would, open up your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is where we're going to take from our first list of spiritual gifts. The second list, just so you know, and where we're going next, is going to be Romans chapter 12. And so 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 4, it says that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And so we see something very interesting in this first list. We see that there is unity in diversity. There are a diversity of gifts, and the Holy Spirit distributes this diversity of gifts to His church. And so different people end up with different gifts, but yet there's unity because it's the same Holy Spirit distributing the gifts. And so we see the idea of unity in diversity. This is where we get our word university from. And so this concept of university in the church, or unity in diversity, this is the use of the spiritual gifts. Each one of us have been gifted in different ways by the Holy Spirit to edify one body, the church. Well, another list right there in 1 Corinthians 12, we find beginning in verse 27. He continues and says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts." And then he goes into an explanation of love, which we'll get into in one of our studies. Not love being a gift, but love being why we should be using our gifts. Our gifts ought to be used from a heart of love. But the concept here of what Paul is saying is that, are all apostles? The answer is no. Are all prophets? The answer is no. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? There are those believers who think that, well, if you're a Christian, then you have to speak with tongues. And again, Paul would argue against that from this very text. Because no, not all Christians speak with tongues. Not all Christians have the gift of healings. Not all Christians are miracle workers. But thankfully, God has raised up some and gifted some to do some of those things. And so that's what we're going to learn about, is we're going to learn about these gifts, what they are, how God wants to use them. The second list that we find is from Romans chapter 12, and realizing that there is some overlap in these lists. And so I will come back and arrange everything in a way that there is no overlap, and we'll take each gift, one gift at a time, per study. So Romans 12, and we start in verse 3, says this: "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And so we see another list of these gifts here: prophecy, faith, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, mercy. So we'll be taking these gifts. We'll be taking what I think are 18 spiritual gifts. Again, realizing that some of these have overlapped. So we're not going to talk about the same gift twice. But what I find in these two texts are 18 spiritual gifts. And I'm going to divide up this overview, these 18 gifts, into three parts with one conclusion study. And so we're going to look at these four parts really quick. The four parts of this study are the speaking gifts, the serving gifts, the signifying gifts, and the significance of the gifts. And so let me talk to you about that really quick. If you're taking notes, this would be the time to write down what we're going to be studying for the next several weeks. The gifts outline is this. We're going to look at the speaking gifts first. The speaking gifts are these: the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the apostolic gift, the prophetic gift, the gift to teach, and exhortation. We'll take a look at each one of those as the weeks go by. And so one gift at a time, we'll begin to define and understand what those gifts are and how they should be used. Then the second portion is the serving gifts. And here's what they are. The first study is helps, and then counseling, ministry, giving, leadership, mercy, faith, and discerning of spirits. And so once again, each week we'll take a new one and study it, understand it, and how they operate. Then finally, we'll look at the signifying gifts. And we'll take four gifts and look at them over 2 weeks. The first week of that portion is going to be the gifts of healings and working of miracles. I think that those are two separate gifts, but close enough that we could spend 1 week on those. And then tongues and interpretation of tongues. Again, two different gifts, but close enough that we could probably talk about them on the same night as well. And then the fourth portion of this study will be the concluding thoughts on the whole study, and that's called the significance of the gifts. And we'll be talking about the importance of spiritual gifts and how to move forward with the conclusions that you've come to. And from that, we'll be looking at Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, which speak about gifts, but they're different kinds of gifts. They end up becoming offices for using the spiritual gifts and blessing one another from love. And so the outcome of this Ignite series, next week, we're going to kick off with that first spiritual gift. We're going to be talking about the word of wisdom. With that study, you will receive a handout. That handout will have the name of each spiritual gift and a ranking to the right-hand side, where you can actually, at the end of the study, consider where you might fall on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, this is not my gift at all, 10 being, I definitely have this gift. And when we're done with that whole study, when we're done with the weeks that we'll spend throughout this series, you'll be able to look at this column and be able to tell right off what gifts you have and begin to start developing them. And so while we're going through this study, and as you begin to understand what your gifts are and to be challenged on how to use them, I believe that God is going to ignite a fire in your heart to love and serve those around you. I believe that a desire will grow within you, that you will begin to see the way in which God has gifted you and how He intends to use you to show His love to others. Then, by design, Wednesday nights, it's designed with a 30-minute time of worship, a 30-minute Bible study, and so each of these studies will be 30 minutes long. And then the church remains open, you know, the building remains open again for the following 30 minutes for you to fellowship, for you to begin to form relationships, and specifically for you to begin to exercise spiritual gifts. So children's ministry will continue to operate during that final 30 minutes. I would suggest that you leave your kids checked in, that you leave your kids checked in and begin to minister to each other. That way you don't have to keep one eye on your child wondering what they're doing. You can focus in, zone in completely on ministry and begin to meet new people and see God use you in these ways that we're talking about by way of the spiritual gifts. So this, the last 30 minutes, and we're about 10 minutes away from that point in time of this service. And in that 30 minutes of this evening, I would challenge you guys, just meet some new people. Just love on them. Meet new people, love them, and begin to pray for them. And to begin to pray that God would use you to bless them next week. Well, it's during this time, this 30 minutes at the end of the service, that you should start exercising the gifts that God has given you. But I don't want to put any pressure on you. The concept here isn't to pressure you into conjuring up some fake thing that, you know, you have managed to work up so that you look spiritual. You know what? Let's just skip the pretense. If God is not going to use you, if He's not going to use you this evening, just chill out, hang out, grab some cake, have some coffee. Just chill out. That's fine. But just be sensitive to the possibility that God might use you. Be open to that. And then be willing when He does call you to leave that comfort zone and go for it. So we don't want any fake spiritual stuff going on here. We don't need any shandalashibarahandas going on and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But if God is genuinely going to use you, just be open to it. That's all I'm suggesting. As you exercise your spiritual gifts, you're going to begin to see how God wants to use you. He wants to use your personality. He wants to use your past experience. He wants to use the gifts that He's given you. Well, trying to do ministry, though, without the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're a Christian who has tried to do ministry and you just got burnt out. It just took a toll on you. You just couldn't maintain it. It just hurt too much to do it. I would suggest that it's possible that you were attempting to do spiritual ministry in the power of your own flesh. And that's always going to weigh heavy on you. That's always going to be hard to do spiritual ministry in the power of your own flesh. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so I would challenge you, if that describes you tonight, go through this study, discover what your spiritual gifts are, and then as at the end of this study, begin to start looking for a way that God could use you to do ministry. Because when you do ministry apart from the power of the Holy Spirit and apart from the giftings of the Holy Spirit, it's like trying to run without legs. It's like trying to speak without a mouth or it's trying to think without a brain. I mean, it's that hard. It's just not going to happen. No one's going to go running if they don't have legs. No one's going to think if they don't have a brain. And no one's going to talk if they don't have a mouth. It just doesn't work. No matter how hard you try, it just doesn't work. Well, the same thing is true for those who try to do ministry but don't have an understanding of their spiritual gifts and have not tapped into the power that's available to them. So let's talk about power just very quickly. Because we need spiritual power if we're going to utilize and implement our spiritual gifts. Understand this, that you can know all there is to know about spiritual gifts. You could get to the end of this study and many others like it and still not be able to use your spiritual gifts. And that's for one simple reason. You have not yet received power from the Holy Spirit. It's very possible that you've taken spiritual gifts inventory tests before. There's all kinds of them online. You go online and type in spiritual gift inventory and you'll get like, you know, 20 or 30 pages from Google that offer you, you know, someone's take on how to figure out what your spiritual gifts are. I'm not signing off on any of them. I've looked at some of them briefly. I've taken one of them. I don't know that it really told me much, but maybe it'll tell you something. But what I'm saying is that if you know exactly what your gifts are but yet have no power to use them, still, the knowledge is pointless. The knowledge of what your gifts are without the spiritual power to use those gifts, it's pointless. So chances are, if you know what your gifts are but you're still having problems using them, the problem is a lack of power. We need power to use our spiritual gifts. If you would, look at Acts chapter 1. Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus was ascending at this point in time. And so there was going to be a whole new relationship between God and mankind. God had spoken to the world through the prophets. And then He sent His only begotten Son. And then when Jesus ascended into heaven, He had already promised to send another helper, that helper being the Holy Spirit. And so now, through the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit provides us with the power that we need. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you'll see it right there. Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And so what we need is for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. We need the Holy Spirit to come upon us to give us the power that we need to use our spiritual gifts and to bless each other. Now, this Greek word power is the basis where we get our word, the English words, dynamic and dynamite. The Greek word is dunamis. And from dunamis, we get the English words dynamic and dynamite. Now consider that word dynamic. Here's a definition. Dynamic means full of energy, enthusiasm, and a sense of purpose, and able to get things going and to get things done. It also means involving or relating to energy and forces that produce motion. Do you want to be moving forward? Are you sick of living that dream where you're running but not going anywhere? You're not moving forward in your walk with the Lord? If you want to have a dynamic walk with the Lord, you need power. You need dunamis. You need spiritual power. What about dynamite? I mean, dynamite literally is explosives, powerful explosives. If you ever drive down 360, I mean, they've blown up, you know, the mountainsides there so they could lay down, you know, the road through all of that hill country. Dynamite is powerful stuff. But slang-wise, when we talk about someone being dynamite, the slang there is speaking of somebody who is exceptionally exciting or has an extremely powerful effect. So if you consider someone who has that dynamite kind of attitude, that should be every Christian. I think we all ought to have a dynamic, dynamite personality when it comes to doing spiritual things. There ought to be this overwhelming sense of excitement when we start talking to lost people about our Savior. There ought to be an overwhelming excitement when it comes to serving one another. Oh, can I, you know, do this ministry for you? Can I meet your needs in some way? Can I run to open this door for you or sweep this carpet for you? Or can I, you know, fix the lights for you? Or can I come up here and do sound? Or can I be on the worship team? I'm excited about being a part of this church because I'm excited to be serving the people at this church. That is what it looks like to be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show up early because I want to be there to bless people. I'm going to stay late because I want to be there to bless people. I want to be used by God to bless others. That's the excitement. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you can't say that that's true of your walk, if you can't say that, yeah, that sounds just like me, that sounds like my heart, then you lack power. You lack the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you get this power then? That's the question, isn't it? How do you get this power? Well, you have to plug in. You have to plug in. And what do I mean by plugging in? When you plug in with God, how do you plug in? It's through reading His Word and it's through prayer. That's how we plug into the Lord. And it's through prayer that we sit down in the morning when we wake up and we say, God, I am not leaving this house until you empower me. I refuse to go into this world without your power. How many of us do that? How many of us wake up early enough in the morning to say, God, I can't do it without you? How many of us are living every day by our own strength? I know, guys, I know that the Lord weeps at the Christians that live every day by their own power because He died for us to have so much more. So to get the spiritual power, you have to pray and ask for it. Ask the Lord to give you the power. And then you have to receive it by faith. You understand that a gift is received and is received by faith. And then we have to step out in that faith. We have to step out ready to use the power that God has given us. So how do we do that? Well, it's just by seeking to love the people around us and to show that love through expressions of service, expressions of gratitude. And if we will spend the time to actually get with God and say, God, give me your power. I want it. I refuse to do ministry without it. And we receive it by faith. And then we move forward with the purpose to use that power and to use those gifts that God has given us. Don't you think God is going to blow your mind with what He would do? And I don't know about you, but I love having my mind completely blown. I like just being completely tripped out on what God is doing. And I have been tripped out for years now on what God is doing in my life. And I just want to see more of that. I want to see more of that. But the way I'm going to see more of that is to see more of it in your life. And I want you to see more of that in my life. And so let's commit to each other, guys, to go through this study together, to learn about the spiritual gifts for the purpose of using them to love one another by the way we serve one another. And I believe that if we do this, God will ignite our hearts for Him, for each other, for the lost. And we'll see God bring revival to Austin, Texas. Let's pray.